I've been reading from Faith City, where we, Jill and I, have the privilege of serving our God and King there. And one of the privileges that we actually have there as well is running a group for the oldies. We call it the seniors group. And I actually brought a couple of the seniors with me today, sitting over there, Robert and Cheryl. They really have been blessing us hugely over the last few days. We've been enjoying some time with them down in Torah. We've had some varied weather, but it's been just delightful. So they're an absolute blessing. So thank you for the time we're sharing with you guys. So when we meet with our seniors group, we get around the table and enjoy a delicious cup of tea, coffee, and some real nuts, eats, and what have you. But the main purpose is to have fellowship. It's around that table that people share things that are happening in their lives, and they share what God is saying to them. And you know, those things that people say around the table like that just have a huge influence on one's life. It's that sort of thing that helped me, and that's what I want to actually share with you today, how that helped me tremendously. And the verse that Robert and Cheryl might have heard me use a number of times is one from Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25. You don't need to refer to it unless you really want to now. But the verse is from the New Living Translation. Let us think of ways to motivate one another, to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing nigh. And this to me is such an important verse. As I've just made the comment earlier, around the table, the words of encouragement that I've had from my fellow oldies has been wonderful. But I can even take it back to a longer time than that. And that's what I want to share with you. It was around that table that I heard somebody speak about his love for Jesus. So this is one of the biggest things that you as a Christian can do, is to share the love of Jesus with others. So let me tell you my testimony, as Bruce mentioned. It was on the 27th of July, 1995, that I decided to follow Jesus with my whole heart. And that was 3 weeks after we arrived in New Zealand. But it wasn't what I would call a split-second decision on that day. It was a process that actually happened in my life. And I'll take you through that process. I was blessed to be born into a Christian home. My parents brought me up very lovingly, and we went through the usual Christian things. I was born into a church, the Grange South Baptist Church in South Africa. And I went along to Sunday school. And I particularly enjoyed the singing. You remember the singing in Sunday school? Joy, 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 with all my heart is singing. Right? Lots of joy. I can remember that one very much. Then we had the Sunday school picnics, the anniversaries, and all of that sort of. And then, of course, I started to grow up. And you know, you get a little bit different when you get into your teens and this sort of thing. You start feeling, I don't really want to go to church the way you're making me to go to church. I was required to go to church 3 times a day on a Sunday. And that was a little bit much for me as a teen, I must be honest. But it gave me a fair amount of head knowledge of the Bible and this sort of thing. I then did go to, you might have heard of Eric Hutchins, campaigner like Billy Graham, not anywhere near as famous, but I did go forward with that and gave my life to the Lord, knowing this was really the thing I should be doing. And also then, when it was time, I was baptized because others were being baptized. And I was still searching lots. Then I finished school. 17 years old, I decided to go and study electrical engineering away from home. So I went off to Natal University, and there I saw there was a Students Christian Association. I thought, yes, let me go to this Students Christian Association. And it was lovely. And it was at one of those get-togethers held in a little room that somebody around the table started talking about his experiences with Jesus. And I listened. And he was talking about being baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and other spiritual gifts. My ears pricked up because I knew nothing of this from my church days. And he told me to go and read the book of Acts. Well, I have read, but what are the words in that that passed over me? And I went there and I found often people were baptized with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Lord, I want more. I want more of this. So I actually went along to speak to the minister of the church that my parents instructed me to go to. You will go to this one, it's close. We know the guy who's the minister, but he studied in Grahamstown where I was as well. And I went along and I spoke to him about this. He said, yes, yes, it's the Holy Spirit. He was given at Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Great. Speaking in tongues, he didn't want to talk about it, and he ushered me out the door. This really bothered me. It really bothered me, big time. So, I'll be real. My interest started drifting, becoming a little bit lax in reading my Bible and those things. Also, it's a Students Christian Association. We had a camp, and I met this beautiful lady. That was about 55 years ago that we met each other. And so we spent a lot more time together. We got married. I focused on my career. And really, church and this sort of thing was secondary. I would go to church when I went back to see my parents and do the right thing, you know, go along with them. But my heart wasn't. So, as I said, we got married, and God blessed us with two beautiful daughters. And in the early 90s, it all changed. Our eldest daughter first gave her life to the Lord, then our younger daughter, and then Jill. My house was quite different. I could see huge changes in their lives, and I started, yes, I want more of what's happening in their lives. So, I did accept a job at the university as a lecturer, and at the place we used to get a sabbatical leave of 1 year every 7 years, and that was delightful. I chose to came to New Zealand because way back in 1956, my gran visited New Zealand, and she came back from her time spending time in Christchurch with a pastor and his wife. She told me what a beautiful time she'd had and all of this. Now, I must tell you a little bit more. This person that she visited used to be a theological student at the Bible Seminary in Grahamstown. And he was even the minister of the Grahamstown Baptist Church, where my parents were going. He dedicated me. And so, when she came to visit him here, she went back with a seed. Well, she went back and put a seed into me to come and visit New Zealand. And when I came back here, I met him again. Isn't that amazing how this man married my parents, he dedicated me, and then he had an influence in my life here. So I felt God led me here. When I came on sabbatical leave, it wasn't to come and move, but it was here that God actually spoke to me. In a meeting that we went to, God spoke to me, and this is really what I want to tell you a little bit more about now. So when we first got here on the 9th of July 1995, we did the usual things of getting our house organized, and it's amazing how this house, how we got that house. Going back to just before coming, I shared with Jill and the girls, we haven't yet got accommodation to stay in yet. They say to me, no problems, we'll pray. Which they did. Would you believe it? Less than 24 hours later, I received notification that we've got a house to rent in Howick, New Zealand. Wow, that's amazing. What a coincidence. But inwardly I respected their prayer had been answered. And I'll share this with you. When I chatted to the person who we rented the house from, we only had 1 hour where we coincided. We arrived and they were leaving to go and visit overseas. He was a minister, a pastor, who had been praying, I don't know why, praying for a South African family to come and occupy his home. What another coincidence. But I don't know why he wanted that. I heard something, they reckon that South Africans look after places. But I'll just turn the pot on that particular one a little bit there. But I don't know. But I just found that another wonderful coincidence. I'll tell you of another coincidence now. So the first few weeks here, you've got to get yourself organized. I get ourselves a motor car and this sort of thing. They used to have car fairs around Auckland on the Sunday. And I went along and looked at different cars. Eventually, I got our car. And then the 27th of July, 1995, I didn't have to go looking for a car. Sunday was free. So the girls invited me, why don't you come along to this new church that we're going to. Okay? So this is a church that had been planted by somebody from Cape Town in South Africa. And they told me that there were about half a dozen South Africans there. Okay, I can handle them. But I couldn't handle God. I'll tell you why. The pastor spoke during that meeting of having the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And he used an analogy that really spoke to this fellow. He went along to the old overhead projector. You remember those overhead projectors? You put the transparencies on the top. He went along to that. He turned the switch on. And the light came on. That was a demonstration of what it's like to have the Holy Spirit in your life. The analogy being that the Holy Spirit is like having electricity. And being an electrical engineer, that spoke to me. It really did. My lights went on. Wow. They really went on. And it put a real heart desire to get into knowing Jesus more once again. Yeah. And to say, I get a little emotional at times when I tell that. Because then when I felt during the meeting that the Lord wanted to recommit. I wanted to recommit my life to the Lord. But he didn't invite anybody to go forward or pray or anything like that. But when I got home,
We're having a cup of tea in the conservatory. A younger daughter says to me, "Dad, how did you enjoy that?" I couldn't answer. I just burst into tears. Because I knew God had been talking to me. And that really changed head knowledge to heart knowledge that wanted me to go and find out more about this Jesus who loved me so much. And that's what I just want to convey to you this morning. Having the Holy Spirit in my life has given me so much more peace and that desire to want to be able to then share Jesus is there. So as the time went on, you would spend time in his presence. And then on one particular occasion, it was a church training time, and we had a visiting fellow come along. And he stopped halfway through and said, "I feel I need to pray for some people." And he did. And then I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit that has impressed so much on my life. Others look at me, I've went out on the floor, waving my hands apparently for about 3 hours. But the pictures that God gave me of those yet who yet don't know Jesus is something that is totally imprinted on my mind. And that's what motivates me to really do more and more and more for him.
Beautiful, beautiful.
So I'd like to just summarize what I've said there. And I use Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. "I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground, and studied and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God." And it's the last stanza of that verse 3 that says, "Many will see what he has done and be amazed." And that's what I hope my life is being, that they will put their trust in the Lord, that my life will influence other lives. And that's my heart. That really is my heart. So it continued to spur me on. And may I carry on, Lord, until you take me home. And that's my heart's desire. You heard Bruce say, we're getting involved with running Alpha in our church, and that's starting to have some real benefit there. Cheryl is very good in organizing the meals that I serve. And it's around that table that it really impacts people. So this is the sort of thing like what happened to me when I joined SCA. What I'm praying is going to be more and more that interest. Getting around together in groups and that. So when you do that, and I want to just quote in closing, Philippians 1 verse 6. "Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Yeah. So your walk, like mine, could be a process. It might not happen instantaneously. It might. We're all different, but I'm just sharing. Mine was a process. But I got to that point. And I realized I didn't have that Holy Spirit in my life. And that's really what has made an absolute difference, is to be prompted by him and respond on those particular occasions. So.